That's right. It's me. Are you having a bad day? Do you want to talk about it? We can. Especially as it relates to restoring your health. I'm not familiar with this gentleman, but his name is A.F. Beddoe. He's written a book called Biological Ionization in Human Nutrition. And this is his quote. He says, "You do not live off the food you eat, but off the energy that is produced from the food you eat." He's right. Would you believe me if I told you that energy is the key to everything that you want to accomplish? And of course, I don't want you to overthink it. If you wake up in the morning tired and exhausted, well, how easy is it to garner or muster motivation to get up and work on the projects you want to work on? Well, it's very hard. But if you feel great, oh boy, don't you want to start doing the very thing that you love doing? Of course you do. I can tell you are really wanting to get in this morning. Good morning.
Yes, sir. This is not for me, thank the Lord, but my wife works for an elderly man. He's 93. And I'm telling you, Dr. Morgan, I know for the past few months, this poor fellow will have hiccups that last days. And even the doctors tried something awful. They tried Thor things on him, and it didn't work. Is there anything that you've ever studied trying to pick your brain that might work?
All that probably needs to be done is if you would take, and I'll let you choose what you want to do. You could say, "Can I use green tea?" And I would say yes. And you could say, "Well, what about ginger tea?" I'd say, "Hey, we can use that too." Or if you said there's a type of tea that goes by the trade name throat coat tea that contains marshmallow root, slippery elm, I'd say that's fine too. Or what if you said, "Well, I don't like those. I like pie hibiscus tea." Good, we'll do that also. So here's what I want you to do, or I want him to do. If you will take and squeeze the juice of one fresh, either lime or lemon, and add that to a cup of herbal tea, and what I want you to do also is I want you to put a spoonful of honey in it. Now, this is just my personal favorite, but when you go to the store and it says wildflower honey, you take a look at it and you go, "Oh my goodness, that stuff looks like it's so dark." Well, yeah, because the honeybee had to go to 700 different types of flowers in order to get where it's going. So if you would add a spoonful of the raw wildflower honey to this tea, and he would drink this about 6 times a day, and when you've got hiccups, I tell you what, I would just go to a very strict only meat and vegetable diet, or I should have said vegetable with maybe a little bit of meat for 3 days. And see if all this doesn't greatly, greatly improve. Now, the second part of the equation is this. And I know I'm just making it sound super, super simple, but he has a nerve called the vagus nerve. Sometimes it's called the 10th cranial nerve. Some anatomy experts, they call the 10th cranial nerve or the vagus nerve the great wanderer. But that's what innervates all this stuff that he's having trouble with. And so if you were to look up vagal tone and then start doing the exercises, we might make some progress.
Now, if he drinks that tea, you're talking about like 2 or 3 swallows 6 times a day or a cup?
Just make a cup with the juice of 1 lemon or 1 lime 6 times a day.
Okay.
Or 6 individual servings a day, and he can take as long or as short as he wants to sip it down or start to say gulp it down. I'm only joking about that. Okay. Maybe we should let the tea cool off from 210 degrees to about 100 before we gulp it.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll get her to try that with him.
You got nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think I have a book. And the title of this book is called The Hippocrates Diet and Health Program. You may remember the famous quote from Hippocrates, the Greek physician, that said, let thy food be thy medicine, and let thy medicine be thy food. Yeah, how interesting. I have read the quote before from Sir William Osler, M.D., and this is his quote. One of the first duties of the physician is to educate the masses not to take medicine. Oh, that's not going to be a popular topic. It is not. But is it true? I'll let you decide. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. Your voice sounds
slightly familiar.
Hello.
You have reached KBJS 90.3 FM.
I'm sorry. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I have a window of opportunity to push the button. If I push it just a nanosecond too late, it goes to the answering machine. That's what I did, but I didn't know that. So if you'll call back, I wasn't trying to be rude and hang up on you, so just please call back and I'll get you right in. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I really didn't hang up on purpose, sorry. Well, I don't have any idea what's going on. I'll give it a second to clear. But here's a quote from Ann Wigmore. You may be familiar with her name, because you probably studied health back in the 50s and 60s. Okay, we're going to try it again. Did I get you this time?
I'm not the same person you had before.
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad to have you. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I have a friend, cousin, that's 62 years old, and he was getting some chest pain. He went to the hospital. They said he needs a triple bypass because he has his main artery coming to his heart, 100% clogged, and two that are partially clogged.
Oh, poor guy.
He doesn't have the money for the surgery, so they put him out of the hospital, and he's looking for natural ways to help clear it, you know, the arteries.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend that would be the best way to clear those arteries?
Okay, I'm going to start off with a slightly different answer to your question, but just play along like it makes sense. In Texas A&M University, they took a clamp. I'm sorry, they did. They took a saw, cut the chest open of a pig, and they put the rib spreaders on there, and they clamped off the main artery, the main coronary artery that feeds the heart. That's exactly what you're talking about, but as it relates to him, a 62-year-old cousin.
Right.
And so what they did was they clamped off the main blood supply to the heart. I mean, the main artery, that coronary artery that goes along the backside, the widowmaker. And then they sewed the pigs back up. And then for the next 21 days, they forced these pigs against their will. I don't think they asked them, or they sent them to an animal psychiatrist to make sure this was emotionally okay. But they forced them to run on a treadmill for 45 minutes a day. Or, when I say run, I really don't even know what the speed was. Maybe it was 3.5 miles an hour. But, you know, the pigs were on there. They had just had, like, open heart surgery. They clamped off the main blood supply to that part of the heart, the coronary artery, called the widowmaker. And they said, guess what you're doing today, little piggy? You're running on the treadmill. And you'll be doing this every day for the next 21 days. Well, at the end of 21 days, what they did was they came back and they did another open heart surgery procedure where they just cut them open again. I know this doesn't sound like a great topic for a Saturday morning, so please forgive me if it's offensive. And they noticed something once they opened them up. It's called God's bypass. Have you ever heard that term before?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so that means when they opened these pigs' chests back up from, you know, another open heart surgery, they saw, oh my goodness, look at what we're seeing here. There's brand new arteries that are growing around where that artery has been clamped off, and they're going, oh, that's weird. You mean the body, under certain circumstances, can grow new arteries around a blood flow restriction or a clot or a clogged artery? And the answer is yes. So yeah. I think I can learn something from that. God has designed the body to adapt even under difficult circumstances, right?
Yes, sir.
And I remember years ago a man came to see me, and this is not the same exact situation, but he had what's called a carotid artery, and that's going to be in part main blood supply to the brain. So I'm thinking this could be actually very, very important to have blood flowing to the brain. But it was clogged. It was like 99% clogged off. And the doctor said, well, we're going to evaluate you. But something happened where they had to cancel his appointment for the surgery, I think. Okay, if I don't remember the story perfectly, I'm getting close enough, all right? So this artery is clogged off. They were going to do like a Roto-Rooter, clean that sucker out so they could get blood flow back to the brain. But something came up where they couldn't do the procedure. And I want to say it was maybe 3 months later they finally got around to rescheduling. So I'm thinking to myself, well, it must have not been that serious if it took them 3 months to get back to it. But when they came back, they did an imaging, and they said, oh, my goodness, this is weird. He's going, what is it? He said, all of a sudden, you've grown all these new arteries and branches around where that's been clogged, and so now we don't want to mess with it. He says, you mean my body grew new blood vessels around where the clogged artery was? And they're going, yeah. And I think most people call that God's bypass, if you haven't ever heard that term before. But if you look it up. So anyway, I just want to at least encourage you that under the right conditions, your body can grow new arteries and new blood vessels. So let me explain some of the things that have been shown to do that. And I realize this may not be super popular for those that, by their very nature, they want to do Roto-Rooters and they want to put stents and things like that. So let me have a go at this, and I'll just break it down piece by piece. So you're welcome to question anything that I say. But number one, I think that you could probably build a case that the body needs vitamin C, because we can't make it. And so you've got to have vitamin C anytime that there's a need for rejuvenation or revitalizing the circulatory system. So I'll leave that in your court. So which foods are very high in vitamin C? Well, lemons and limes are. Now, the other way that I want to approach this, there are compounds found in lemons and limes that act like solvents to dissolve debris in the body. I am not saying on the radio that if you squeeze the juice of a lime or lemon, that in 1 nanosecond you will dissolve all the clogged gunk that's in the arteries. I did not say that. And I think we're being reasonable, but it's what you do over time that consistently leads to a change. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I would say that's very important. Now, this is my interpretation from research that I've read from Dr. George Eads from Cambridge University in London, or United Kingdom, or Great Britain. If you're from Great Britain, you can probably help me understand where he's from. But he took people that had very severe angina pectoris. That means bad, bad, bad chest pain. So if your cousin gets up and says, I think I'm going to run up and down the stairs real quick and see what happens. Well, if he's got 100% blocked coronary arteries, it ain't going to take long till he starts to have a massive Charlie horse of the heart where he's going, oh, my goodness, I got pain.
Yeah, and they gave him
Nitro.
Nitro, right.
Yeah.
And Lipitor.
Well, anyway, well, that's a whole topic for another day. I don't even know if I want to talk about that. I almost feel like I'm committing a sin by talking about Lipitor. So I don't want to sin this morning.
Okay. I guess I have the same opinion, and I talked to him yesterday about it.
I know. I'm sort of joking about the last statement. Don't take it the wrong way. I'm not trying to offend anybody. So Dr. George Eads, he noticed that when people had very, very bad clogged arteries, and I realize this is going to be a mouthful, so I can't dissect all this information perfectly in like 30 seconds, but let me just have a run at this real quick, and then you decide if you want to believe it and do your own research, because that's what I want to encourage you to do. Do you remember the story in the book of Acts about the Bereans? You remember hearing about those guys?
Yes, sir.
Well, didn't it say that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied the scriptures daily to see if what Paul and Silas were saying or was saying was actually true and in accordance or something like that, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's a pretty high compliment because the Bereans, they studied for themselves to find the truth. And I think that's most commendable, and I think you and I can do the same thing when it comes to health. So he would give zinc.
He's doing a lot of study, but what he's finding out is that he's wanting to eliminate cholesterol, no fat.
No. That ain't going to work. That
no,
will
Bob,
never
I know,
work.
I know.
There's
I
no way that. Can. There's no way on earth that can work, and let me explain the reason why. What now?
No eggs, no butter, no meat.
Well, I tell you what, he's headed toward complete, utter bone-weary exhaustion where he has no strength, no ambition, no drive, no motivation. He won't feel like a man in about 3 weeks. And when you take Lipitor, it's going to completely exhaust them. Your cousin's fortunes are going to rise and fall based on how well we can feed and nourish the mitochondria that are in the cells of his heart and his arteries. Because his fortunes will rise based on his ability to start producing more energy. If he has less energy, guess what's going to happen? He's going to say, I'm so discouraged. I feel like giving up. I can't even walk across the floor of my living room to the kitchen without chest pain.
Yeah,
we got to have energy.
He told me yesterday that he is sick of eating broccoli. He's just eating broccoli and, you know,
cauliflower,
things like that.
Did you tell him he had a bad attitude, or did you say there's a solution that might actually help you here, buddy?
I was trying to fuzz
that. We were trying to tell him, but he left saying, well, I know the Lipitor ain't good, and I can't take it all the time.
Well, he may be saying that, but it's not enough to move him to making a radical change. I mean, what he's doing, if you ask me, is quite radical, living off broccoli and cauliflower. You can't do that. Your brain becomes so weak. So if
what?
Okay, this is just me talking, but we ain't going to get anywhere with him by cutting out eggs and butter and just eating broccoli and cauliflower. I mean, you might do that for 3 weeks, but you ain't going to do it long term. It's just impossible.
I know.
I love broccoli and cauliflower, but what I want him to do is I want him to smear butter all over it.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell him to do, but he said he can't eat butter.
Well, he's believing one particular narrative that's going to prove to be fatal eventually.
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to suggest to you. When a newborn baby comes into the world, the first thing that should happen is they should give the baby to the mama, and the baby should lay on mama's tummy. And, of course, the baby's just a few inches away from the breast, and so what does the baby naturally do? It starts to nurse. And so when they take a baby's diaper that's just 10 hours old or 10 hours into the, you know, this external world, they notice, oh, my goodness, this baby is producing ketone bodies. That's weird. Well, ketones are a chemical byproduct of converting fat into energy. So that means mama's breast milk, it's mainly made of high amounts of fat and cholesterol. Now, you tell me, if you want a baby to grow and to have energy and to live and to have vitality, what do you give them? You give them high fat and you give them high cholesterol. If you do the opposite of that, and you take away the fat and the cholesterol, his brain will become so... Is unclear a word, or am I making up a word? He'll have so much brain fog, and he'll be so confused, and I would venture a guess he's going to have anxiety, panic attacks, and depression over this.
That's where he's at now, and it's been 2-3 weeks, but he's scared to death of having his chest opened up.
Well, let's reverse that. You've got to start producing energy. So if we could start here I am just talking. I don't know that I have his blessing on any of this stuff. But you've got to, here's the main deal right here. You've got, if he's not eating saturated fat that comes from egg yolks, if he's not eating butter, then what is he eating? He's eating carbohydrates and sugars, things that are going to cause his insulin level to go up. And insulin
that's another thing that he cut out.
Well, let me say this. Back in the 80s, and I can't remember the name of the medical school in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Maybe it was Southwestern. They did a study. You know how people will donate their bodies to science for the sole purpose of helping to train young medical doctors how to be good physicians and understand? Well, what they did was when people were at the end, they breathed their last, they gave medical permission for this medical school to harvest the arteries, and I want to say it was a carotid artery in the neck. I could be wrong. Maybe it's, but you know, in a laboratory setting, they can keep these arteries alive. They can. They just cut them out, they put them in a solution, and they give them oxygen, they give them food, and every day they have to do the same thing. They have to drain off the waste to clean the water. It's not the same as a fish tank, but anybody that's ever had fish, you can't just pour water in a fish tank and let the goldfish poop and go tee-tee a million times and expect the fish not to drown in its own waste. You got to change the water, right?
Right.
Well, what they did was, in this experiment, they said, we're so curious. What can we do to clog these arteries as fast as possible? Do you want me to tell you what they figured out? I mean, this is pure brilliance. They tried everything to clog the arteries. They couldn't do it until they did one thing. They injected a solution of the hormone called insulin. And the moment they injected insulin into the solution, the arteries became filled with gunk and plaque about as fast as possible. And so what we got to do is, I've got to convince your cousin here that if I can trick him, I'm joking when I say trick. You know I don't mean that.
You don't have to trick people.
But if I can compel him to start eating butter, butter doesn't require a drop of insulin. If you want to clear and clean the arteries, we need things like avocados and the fat that comes from avocados. We need fresh, grass-fed butter. And the good news is, you can go into the grocery store. Well, actually, maybe a health food store, I should say that. You can go into the health food store, and you can find grass-fed butter right now. You couldn't do that 10 years ago. Impossible. So he needs grass-fed butter that's clean. If it said organic grass-fed butter, even better. But without this, how's that going to produce energy?
Wally World.
Where?
Wally World.
Wally World? Is that like a store that we go to?
Yeah, big store, you know.
Big
Wally. All
okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, it sounds good. Sounds like it's short for Walter. Okay, so anyway, there is a polyphenol pigment called resveratrol. Resveratrol, when you look at it, it's a polyphenol or an herb that comes from red wine or the skins of grapes. He needs to look into that. He needs to look into zinc, vitamin K2, vitamin C. He needs to look into what's called cod liver oil. I'm a huge fan of butter, grass-fed butter. He may not be. But you know what? Let me just walk this backwards. If he has done everything he can to follow his current physician's advice on how to restore and open these arteries naturally, then my hat goes off to him as a man that's willing to give a try. But what do you do if that recommendation completely fails him? Then you have to be open-minded and say, okay, this ain't working so hot. What can I do? Mm-hmm. So, you ever heard of a one-day-old baby having clogged arteries? I haven't.
Nope.
But these are some of the things that you can do. So I would say, let's go with lemons and limes. Let's start drinking herbal tea all day long. Let's start cleaning the arteries. But you've got to go to a diet that starts converting fat and cholesterol into energy. You got to give the body a reason to clean all the arteries.
Yes.
So we have to lower insulin levels, and we got to get him moving. I'm going to recommend I send him to Texas A&M, and the next time they do these experiments, we'll cut his chest. I'm joking about that. I didn't mean that. But he's got to. But he's going to have to start moving. And if he looks up the research on using zinc to abolish angina pectoris, and by the way, the very thing that nitroglycerin does is it rapidly increases the body's production of a molecule called nitric oxide. So if he takes if he takes nitroglycerin under his tongue, and then 20 seconds later he goes, "Oh my goodness, I feel like I can breathe now, and I don't have the pain." That tells me we got to increase his nitric oxide. And how do you do that? Resveratrol. Or you start taking crystallized beet powder. I know the stuff tastes gross, but does he want to live? He's only 62.
Right.
He's only 62. Why should he?
He has a great big belly, and the rest of him is kind of muscular, and it's not happy.
He's worked all his life. He's still trying to do as much as he can, and his wife has cancer almost gone.
Do you remember the story of Bud Abbott and Lou Costello?
Yeah.
Remember how funny they were together, like who's on second? You know, stuff like, I thought they were hilarious. It was good wholesome. But I read an article one time about him, and I think he died when he was like 53 years of age, and his wife dies maybe 6 months later from a heart attack also. And I thought, she was just like 46 or 49. Goodness. But these things happen all the time.
Yeah.
I would say what we have is we have a great opportunity toward healing.
Okay.
But I can tell you right now, there's nothing that they're going to give him in medicine that's going to dissolve that clot. His body's going to have to do that. And he does that with a technique called intermittent fasting. You try to get into a feeding window of about 6 to 8 hours, which means all the food that you're ever going to eat, you're going to have to eat in those 6 to 8 hours. That means you're fasting the rest of the day, between 16 to 18 hours.
Right. I've told him that.
Good. I think that's a great suggestion that you've given him. And we've got to give him, then on faith, he's got to say, well, what am I believing here? It hurts to walk, but he's going to have to start walking every single day, just like the pigs on the treadmill at Texas A&M.
Right.
Should we actually trust any research that comes from Texas A&M?
Absolutely, sometimes.
Well, depends on the source of that research.
Okay, I guess we can trust it. So at least
I've heard a lot of research that wasn't accurate.
Well, you know, in the world that we're living in, when there's a lot of money involved, sometimes the research might have a little bit of a bent or a slant toward looking very favorable. Like this week, I read about a new heart drug that just came out. Guess how much it costs? $225,000. That tells me that drug is not for a common person like me or you. It's for only the ultra elite, like maybe Bill Gates or Donald Trump. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, who can afford $225,000 for a heart drug? Come on.
That's ridiculous.
Well, yes, on one level, and maybe it will save a life. But I'm thinking, have we just lost our minds? We won't even do so if we can talk your cousin into retooling here. So he's probably had a boatload of stress in his life, because usually that when somebody's under a lot of stress, or when you have dental infections, that artery is the one that becomes clogged.
No, he doesn't have one of those.
Okay. Well, these are ideas. And, of course, one of my favorite herbs of all time is hawthorn.
Okay.
I don't think it's possible to improve the heart without hawthorn. Well, that's not true. I'm just trying to establish that hawthorn is really, really good. If you want to keep your heart and your arteries clean, hawthorn might be one of the things that you might want to take a look at.
Okay.
Yesterday he told me about this tea that he mixed together, half a lemon, cayenne.
Oh man, this is going great.
Maple
syrup.
Probably not.
He said he put some honey in it.
Well, maple syrup, honey. You got to make it taste good.
Ingredients I can't remember right now.
No, you've hit the main ones. You got water, you got lemon, you got cayenne, a little bit of honey or maple syrup. That's called the Master Cleanse.
All right.
Well, what that means is he wants to help himself, so let's encourage him. Keep helping yourself. Do that all day long, every day.
Okay.
You know, either we're going to heal or we're going to die. I vote we heal.
Amen.
Right. And by the way, I will recommend to him to listen to this. He goes online and listens that way later in the day.
Where does he live?
About
right behind us.
Right behind, you know.
We live in Kilgore, in the country.
And he lives right behind you.
Well, about a quarter mile behind us. We live in the woods.
Cool. I love it.
And we're having sautéed salmon this morning.
I need, ma'am, I don't need to be personal, but what is exactly your GPS coordinates currently? Because as your physician, it's my job to test these things to make sure they're safe for human consumption.
And we usually have okra with it, you know, sautéed okra, but we're out this morning.
Ma'am, why are you hesitating giving me your coordinates?
I talked to you last year, and I told you that I'm a Cajun chef.
Oh, and, I know. How cool.
Yeah, Kilgore, Texas. Dudley Road, honey.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call, and thank you for loving your cousin enough to call on his behalf.
God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much. May the Lord look upon you with great favor.
He always does.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. If you're driving through Kilgore, just crack the window in your vehicle a little bit, and when you smell sautéed salmon and okra, maybe that could be a clue that we're getting close to where the Cajun chef lives. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan. Could you tell me if there is a natural way to remove, I think you call it a lipoma, like a fatty tissue? I have one that's located in my shoulder. And
is it right there in the very front of the shoulder?
It's on my back.
Oh, is it right over the shoulder blade?
Right, uh-huh.
Okay,
I've had one cut out before about 25, 30 years ago, and I just would rather take care of it a different way.
Okay. This is a tough one right here, and I'm just being very honest with you, okay?
Uh-huh.
I think the last three or four cases I've seen where you could actually take a tape measure and you could measure the lipoma wherever it occurred on the body. So let's just say it was on the shoulder blade. I could take my tape measure out and measure it. Mm-hmm. And then we could try things and see if it begins to shrink. And so one of the ways that I've seen those shrink and become much, much smaller is a technique called intermittent fasting. Okay. I know this may not sound glorious, but here's what happens. There's a term that's being used in medicine quite a bit here of late. It's called autophagy. So I pronounce it autophagy because I'm from Texas. But the term autophagy, if you break down the Latin root meaning of the word, it means self-eating. And under ideal circumstances, that's what you would like to happen. You would like your immune system or your body to go exactly where that lipoma is, because a lipoma is just a benign accumulation of fatty tissue that just kind of gunks up abnormally, and you just soon the body remove that. Now, sometimes they become diseased and they have to be removed. And I understand that, but using a technique called intermittent fasting, I've seen the body eat those lipomas.
Okay. Is there any type of food that would help that?
Yes, if you want to help it grow and become larger, then Doritos and Mountain Dew would be a very good choice if you want it to get bigger. Oh wait, that's not what you meant, right?
Right.
No, the ones that help it shrink are foods that are high in sulfur.
Okay.
And I realize this is very technical, but they call them lipid rafts, and sulfur helps you transport or dissolve fat. So The foods to dissolve fat are going to be apple cider vinegar, lemon juice, and lime juice. Any high sulfur vegetable or food, that would be onions and garlic, Brussels sprouts, kale, asparagus. Did I forget to mention broccoli and cauliflower that the last caller said that their cousin was just about sick of? But anything that's very high in sulfur, and you know, on a sheet of paper, technically, eggs have been shown to be a very good source of sulfur, and that's just, oh, they're just phenomenal. Some people can tolerate cottage cheese, which that's high in sulfur also. So high sulfur foods are usually one of the very best bets when you're trying to scrub fat from the body.
Okay.
Which, if I can at least tell you this,
okay,
the state in the United States that has the lowest amount of sulfur in their soil is Mississippi. The state that has the highest amount of sulfur in their soil is currently Oregon. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Which one of those states has the most obese people of anywhere in the U.S.?
Oh, Mississippi.
Yeah, you're right. Which one of those states has the highest number of skinny people in the U.S.?
Probably Oregon.
Oh, goodness, I knew I was talking to a genius on the phone this morning. You solved the mystery. So, of course, the key is you've got to eat foods that have sulfur in them in order to extract sulfur, right?
Right.
I mean, just living in Mississippi is not going to make you fat unless you're eating low-sulfur foods. The two foods that do more to deplete sulfur from the human body than any other are going to be modern wheat and then white refined sugar or high-fructose corn syrup. So in a roundabout way, I kind of added on to the answer to your question, what do I do?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, that's an idea right there. I have an article that I'm going to read to you as soon as you get off the air, okay?
Okay. One other thing, are there any supplements that I could take to boost that sulfur?
Yeah, one of the things you could do is, it's called, and I'm sure you've heard of this before, it's called MSM. Have you heard of that?
I have, but I've forgotten what it was.
Well, it's called methyl sulfonylmethane. It's just an organic source of sulfur, and if I'm not mistaken, it's just a byproduct of converting wood into paper.
Oh.
Which personally, I love paper. But in order to make paper, you got to have wood, which is, I mean, you would agree with me, isn't a tree a living organism?
Right.
Okay. So that's how they make it. So you could take MSM and you could just play with a little bit of that and see if your fortunes begin to change for the better over time.
Okay.
You know what else I've seen? I know I'm adding on here. Forgive me. I'm bad about this. Just keep going and going and don't stop talking. So do you know what a sauna is?
Yes.
When someone submits and they go into a sauna and they're in there for a season, like 30 minutes or an hour, I mean, toxins just start flowing out of the body. There's no mistaking it. They've done studies and they've shown the moment a person goes into a sauna, that's when all this toxic waste starts coming out of the body. I've read stories about some people, if they go out to eat at a restaurant and they feel horrible afterwards, they go straight to the sauna to try to detox all that stuff. And I think that's brilliant.
Okay, how long should a person stay in one? I guess you call it an infrared sauna.
Oh, that's perfect.
So how long would I need to stay in there for it to...
Well, here's the first thing I'm going to say. You know that when you go in a sauna, you're going to start perspiring, correct?
Right.
Okay. So you're going to lose water, but studies show that you lose your electrolytes, and that's how you generate energy, or one aspect of it. So if you're going to go into a sauna for 35, 40 or minutes or an hour or whatever, I think that you need to have a bottle of water that has some salt in it. What is your personal favorite salt? What do you like?
I use sea salt.
Perfect. Couldn't do better than that. That's excellent. Good choice. So if you put a pretty good pinch of sea salt in your glass of water while you're in the sauna, that's going to go a long way to helping you.
Okay. I've had water, but I never added salt to it. So.
Well, when you get in the sauna from now on, let's just do that. Let's just add some electrolytes back to your water because you'll lose those. And I just think it's wise to replace those. I want you to feel good by going in the sauna.
Okay. I guess that will help with inflammation, too.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, it's just the way that life is. We breathe in oxygen and we eat food. Therefore, when we convert the food into energy, it gives off metabolic waste. I mean, what would happen if you were constipated and never went to the bathroom again the rest of your life? That'd be disastrous, wouldn't it?
Right.
You know what I had a woman tell me this week? She said, right. Dr. Morgan, I think you saved my husband's life. And I said, how did I save his life? And she was saying if I get this wrong, please forgive me. She said he has been severely constipated for 50 years. He's used every drug known to man, every laxative. And I said, really? What's his favorite laxative? And she said, Miralax. I said, you know what Miralax is made out of? She said, no. I said, it's ethylene glycol. That means it's antifreeze. That's all they're giving people. Is they're putting an expensive price tag. It's essentially antifreeze. So if you're a gastroenterologist and you're saying, "Why, yes, Mrs. Smith, I would love to treat your constipation, and my plan for you is to give you antifreeze," isn't that nuts?
Oh goodness!
Which technically, you're going to agree with me that if you drink antifreeze, you're going to vomit and have diarrhea, aren't you? Your body's going to try to rapidly get rid of it.
Right.
Anyway, you're probably wondering why I'm bringing this up, because when she called me on the phone in desperation, I said, can we try this? And she said, are you sure you know what you're doing, Dr. Morgan? And I said, not really. I just, experiment with people all day long. And she said, you sure you want my husband to do that? I said, yes. All I want him to do when he wakes up is to take 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, and I want him to swallow it. And she said, does it matter how he swallows it? I said, no. As long as we get it in him, I don't care if he puts it in a cup of coffee or herbal tea or a cup of water and just drinks it. And she said, are you sure he should do this again 15 minutes later? I said, well, if he hadn't had a bowel movement, yes, I'm pretty sure. I mean, since it's your husband, I don't mind experimenting with his health. I mean, I don't know if I would do it with a sweet lady calling me on the phone right now, but I would do it with him. Anyway, she said, you saved his life. I said, oh, my goodness. Well, how fast did it work? She said, right away. I said, you see there, all we had to do is just lube him up with a little bit of olive oil.
Mm.
You know how many times olives or olive groves or olive oil is mentioned in the Bible?
I know it's a lot.
A lot. That's what I was going to say. I was going to use your term. It's a lot. And so you got to have fat for the body to operate. So even the man that called earlier on behalf of his cousin, you are not going to get anywhere by cutting out fat. It ain't going to work. But the choice that you have is, well, are there good fats that I could consume? Yes. Have you heard of olive oil? Have you heard of butter? Cod liver oil, fish oil, avocados. Perfect.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I hope those things help you.
Yes, it will. And, one other question. I know that you mentioned using a little bit of baking soda and water help.
Yeah, and the purpose is to alkalize the pH of your body, because good things happen when your body is slightly alkaline as opposed to very, very acidic. Bad things happen to a body when you're acidic. Bad. You want to have cancer? Let's make you more acid. You want to have clogged arteries of your heart? Let's make you more acid. So baking soda, it alkalizes your body.
Okay. I don't know if it was a baking soda or not that I had taken once before, but it seemed like I had palpitations afterward. Did I get too much, maybe?
I don't know the answer to that, but I would say this. Your body's going to start purging toxins the moment you add baking soda, so sometimes stuck toxins will come out of you when you do that.
Okay, maybe that's what that was.
Well, and I don't know, but maybe.
Okay.
Let me guess, you have one more question. But thank you very much for your phone call today. I'm so glad you called.
Okay.
Oh, hope you have a good day, ma'am.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Here's a quote from Ann Wigmore. I like this one a whole bunch. Your health is what you make of it. Everything you do and think either adds to the vitality energy you possess or it takes away from it. How about that? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. God bless you, and I'm enjoying your show.
Oh, you are? Thanks for saying that. That makes me feel good.
I really am. And I'd like to ask a question. You mentioned earlier that if you have a dental infection, there's an artery that gets clogged. Is that
I said that in reverse. Maybe I'm not understanding what you're saying, but here's what I meant. Have you ever heard stories before of people that before they can even go to the dentist to either get dental work or to have their teeth cleaned, the dentist will insist that they take amoxicillin or some antibiotic for 5 to 7 days before their appointment? You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. I had it recently, a few months ago. So that's what happened to me.
So before the dentist would even clean or work on your teeth, they said, hey, you're going to need to take this antibiotic first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's my point. There's, and can I just have permission to speak freely with you?
You can do anything you want to.
Oh, well, you're so kind. Thanks. But if you ask me what I've uncovered by reading, just because I'm a total nerd on this stuff, I could read this stuff all day long and just be so excited about it from the
beginning. Well, you're a nerd given to us by God, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're but God's nerd.
If you have a chronic low-grade infection, let me just kind of make up a story here. Let's say you've had a, what do you call a cap that's put on a crown. I can't believe I didn't think of that. If you have a crown that's put on top of an infected tooth, what's going to happen? That infection is just going to brew and boil. It's going to leak. But any time that you have any infection in your tooth, that is a clear pathway to the arteries of your heart. And so this is only one form of an organism, but you've heard of a bacteria called Streptococcus, or sometimes it's called strep.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's a type of bacteria that's called Streptococcus mutans. It's very famous for causing cavities and abscesses in the teeth. And so if you have tooth problems or infections that aren't being taken care of, you're asking for all the arteries of your heart to get clogged up.
Okay, all the arteries, not just the aorta, all everyone.
Exactly, yeah.
That's
and, of course, like anything else, what do you do if somebody has a dye job and the doctor says, you know what, 4 of these arteries are crystal clear and clean, there's no plaque in them, you don't have any deposits of cholesterol or calcium, there's just one of them that's like 75% blocked, but I would still counter and say most likely that's where the infection settled, and then all that plaque is your body's best efforts and attempt to cover the infection to keep it from spreading. So here's the rule that I want to live by. Your body is going to calcify anything, anywhere in the body if it's chronically inflamed. And so have you ever had an injury to a joint in your body?
A joint?
Yeah, like a knee or a toe or a finger, wrist.
Yes.
Well, if that stays in the place of horrible pain all the time, then you're asking for your body to calcify, because that's what your body does. Your body calcifies anything that stays chronically inflamed. And so this is my second question to you. If you go to church tomorrow morning, or when you go to church tomorrow morning, if you shake hands with a very sweet, dear older man or older lady, and you notice that their fingers are completely bent, they're not straight any longer, wouldn't you look at them and say, ma'am, what is that horrible bump on your finger? Well, you don't have to, because you know what it is. She's got a calcium deposit, like very severe arthritis, right?
Yes, sir.
So when you have plaque in an artery, I do think that vitamin K2 plays a very precise role in helping to make sure that calcium does not build up in the arteries of the heart or the aorta, like you said, or the carotids or the fingers or the joints? I may not have answered your question. What was it?
No, yeah, but what artery? I thought it was one artery.
Oh, no, well, the big ones where you start to see this is going to be the carotids or the coronary arteries of the heart. And the coronary arteries, that is your blood supply of oxygen and nutrition to the heart muscle itself. So the coronary arteries, their job is to continually feed nutrition to the heart so it can do its job.
So if you have a dental infection, the first artery is to be clogged by the infection of the carotid artery, correct?
Probably, it's either that or the coronary arteries. I'd probably go with the coronaries first. That's just a guess on my part.
Yeah.
I could look up the studies on that and give you a more precise explanation.
No, that's fine. That's good.
Yeah,
enough.
Yeah, but that's what happens. So if you have like a dental infection that doesn't go away, do you know what ozone is?
Yes, I think it's a part of our...
Exactly. It's part of our atmosphere, right?
Exactly. That's what I couldn't think.
So there's some dentists that what they will do is they'll spray just a little bit of ozone very, very precisely to the tooth that they're trying to repair. Because what it does is it sterilizes it from all infections. And if you ask me, I'm going, oh, my goodness. Could that prevent infections and heart problems? I'm thinking, yes, it does. And I realize ozone, if you breathe pure ozone directly into your lungs, it could kill you if it was a bad enough concentration. Now, I have an ozone generator I use at the office all the time just because I'm in an older building, and when it rains, there could be a little bit of a leakage, and you don't want it to have mold to grow. But ozone kills that stuff on contact. But there's a lot of people that when they feel horrible, they'll go and get an ozone treatment, and they can take and just ozonate the blood, but it kills all these infections in the body, and it works like a champ. If you can afford to do it, I mean, it's one of the fastest ways to clean the body and repair it.
What's the expense? How much?
Well, I've never done it, but I would guess it's in the thousands.
Where do you go? Just to a regular MD?
No. You would have to go to somebody that specializes in doing this, because these are probably borderline rebellious doctors that are doing this because it's not the standard of care right now. But you might just look up on YouTube ozone IV therapy for the blood and just see what you learn.
Right, yeah.
And there's other ozone techniques that people can do at their much, much cheaper in their home by using an ozone generator I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but I was reading an article about, I'm just telling you about me. I'm not judging anybody that's listening. I don't drink beer. My father drank enough for all of us put together, but I don't drink it. But I've read articles where they take and they ozonate beer, and all of a sudden, beer has some of the most amazing health benefits of any substance you could put in your mouth. And so I was trying to read the research on that last night. I didn't complete it, but at least I'm going to go back and look at it again. But to me, that was so... Because what I thought of, I said, you know, what if I took kombucha? There's a fermented beverage for you. What if I just ran ozone and oxygen through that and then drank it? But, you know, there's people all over the world right now to improve their health. They'll take an ozone generator with a source of oxygen, and they'll add that to their drinking water to get the benefits. But, you know, some of the stories that I read and people that I talk to, I'll ask them, what did you feel like before you had the ozone treatment? They'll say, I was tired, I was exhausted, I had brain fog, I had no clarity of thought. It was by sheer force of will that I'd make myself get up and go to work every day. Life was hard. Well, what'd you feel like within 30 minutes afterwards? Oh, I felt like a brand new person. I felt like there was hope.
This is ozone treatment, correct?
Yes, sir. I started to say yes, ma'am, but I pulled myself back at the last second.
Oh, I'm fine with yes, ma'am. Nowadays, you never know, and you know, I don't.
That's
wanna...
not what I meant. I'm just accidentally I said that.
There is, you know, trans this, you're that.
That's I'm not what I meant. Boy, I opened up a can of worms on that one. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm just adding to the. I just
little controversial.
Oh, that's all right. Anyway, but thank you so much for your phone call. It means the world to me, and thank you for your kind words.
May I ask you one more question?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Anything for you.
What? No, now you make me forget the question.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, sir. Did you say you had a question you wanted to ask? Go right ahead.
On Sunday, do you, what causes AFib, and on Sunday, is your program a repeat of today, or is it sometime?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, well,
I know who knows. If you call and talk to John Paul Little, that guy knows everything about everything.
It wasn't a repeat last weekend because I listened Saturday and then I listened at 2 o'clock on Sunday and it was different. But it was
Well, it could have been the prior week, maybe two weeks ago.
Maybe so. Yeah, well, I'll check it out again, but that's good. And what causes AFib right quick? Can you tell me? Clogged arteries, simple answer.
Oh, boy. Let me tackle this piece by piece right here. AFib is when you're going to have altered electrical conductivity and transfer of energy in the heart. So I would say a typical Western diet and very high levels of stress, they all contribute to the formation of AFib. But if I were trying to reverse AFib, I would try to convince a person to eat good, clean sources of fat, because the primary food that the heart wants for its energy is fat. I know that's hard to believe.
Right.
You're not going to get anybody else to believe that because they're going to say, hey, Dr. Morgan, you're crazy. But it's true. The cleanest burning source of fuel by the heart and for the heart is fat. So if you ask me, I'm not going to tell you not to eat eggs or fish or butter or avocados or all that olive oil that we were talking about earlier.
It's not canola oil, is it?
Oh, no. That would be a way to cause AFib, because that's a trashy, dirty, dirty oil.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
You talk about a dirty rat. Actually, why did I say dirty rat? I don't know.
Well, I've got an ex-member of my family, without going into detail. So I still care for the person.
Oh, of course you do.
And, you know, really, but...
You are one of the most caring, loving human beings on the face of the earth. The world would be a better place if there were more people like you.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Dr. Morgan. I'll take it as a compliment. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We're all out of time today, but thank you so much for your phone call.
I give the good Lord the glory, and God bless you, Dr. Morgan.
You're a smart man by giving him the glory. Amen. He deserves all of it, doesn't he?
Have a blessed, yes, sir.
You too. Thank you very much. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.